All right. The wives have had a scripture to memorize. And that was pretty good size to me. The husbands, you know, it's a little bit shorter, so it's easier for us. You don't have a lot there, a dozen words perhaps. Memorize that. Love your wives. Love your wives. And then, verse 20, children. The Lord is directing His word to you. Children. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. We've had the instruction to the wives. We've had the instruction to the husbands. If we were going through this list, as you consider the language of the Greek, it's as if Paul is going down a checklist of a grocery list and marking these things off. The wives, be subject to their own husbands. The husbands, love the wives. The children, obey the parents. The fathers, not to provoke the children. The slaves, be subject in all of your duties. The masters, offer to the slaves the right and equal things. What's interesting and helpful about this is that as we each one receive our commandment, the role that we have in our family, and on beyond that, but especially in a church relationship, not only do we know what we are commanded to do, but everybody else in the house knows what the other is commanded to do. And what that does is very significant. It causes us to be able to help and encourage one another to do these things. There's nothing more embarrassing for me, and it's the same for you, when I fail in my duties. When I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I am so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed, depending on what it is. I don't like to fail. I don't like to make mistakes. And neither do you. Mothers and fathers, bosses and laborers and children as well. No one likes to make mistakes. But we do. And part of the greatest blessing in being in the Lord's church is that we can have help when we do fail. We can be encouraged. We can be corrected. We can be disciplined. We can be chastened by words and actions of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Young and old, be greatly helped. That's one of the main reasons that I find that those who say that they know the Lord neglect getting into a New Testament church. It's because they don't want to be held accountable for their lives to others. And yet it is the best way to walk with Christ. It's the proper way. It's the right way. It's the only way in my book to walk as we should. I can't walk by myself. Someone just said the other day, my wife and I are joined at the hip. Some see that as weakness. I don't see that as weakness at all. I like to touch her. I like to sit next to her. I don't like not sitting next to her. I want to be able to reach over, touch her hand. I want to be able to lean on her. Now I do. And some of you are doing the same thing right now. You know, there's not a gap between you. Do you notice that? You guys, you're just getting right in there. That's how it works. Hey, I'm married to that woman. I want to be close to her. I want to be with her all the time. Not everybody's quite like that, and to the same degree. And so, we allow certain differences in the relationship. I don't require that my sons do the same thing that I did with my wife. And they don't. I've not understood why they don't. I thought it was a great thing. I've allowed them the freedom, and sometimes it's difficult, but I allowed them the freedom to make their own life. There's parameters within. They work within the Word of God, and they have a lot of freedom. If they don't want to touch all the time and hang out together all the time, that's their business. They have the liberty to do it, but there are some things that we all have in common together, and that's the Word of God. And that relationship, there are some things that need to be maintained. Okay? So we're accountable to one another. Now, my sons, I think both of them do this. I was surprised. Luann and I sit side by side when we're at the table. I think some of you do that. And I see that they sit apart. It's like, wow, I just wouldn't want to do that. But that's what they do, and they're happy with it, and it works. And you know, if you had a family that big, I'd do the same thing most likely, but I don't. They had been blessed with more children than I had. And so I can see the practicality of it all, to reach all the family like that. And so you allow that freedom. I'm always amazed at that. I thought, I sure wouldn't want to sit apart like that. I want to be next to her and be able to. When we eat, we hold hands. It's just one of those things. Except when I've got some dessert or something and I need to dig in, I'm going to let go and go for it. But there's accountability in our relationship with one another. It's in the Lord's church, we have that, and it's a tremendous blessing. But those who don't want to be in that relationship miss out on that part. I need help. I've thought often, and I know you've done the same thing, where would I have been? Yes, it's the grace of God. But how He has worked in this church to help me and my wife and my children all these years. It's a big deal. And you appreciate that. I can tell. Tremendous blessing. Word for word here for a moment. Children, obey your parents in all things. Could say the children obey the parents in everything, every singular thing that they put before you. Obey it because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. The Scripture says children. And it means just that. It's not hard to tell. But there was another word that's closely related to children. And it's significant because it is translated in some places as children, child, son, daughter. And it's the word pais. And it's servants. It's a word that was used referring to the Son of God. He was a servant of His Father. He had the child Jesus tarried behind. When His parents were leaving Jerusalem, they'd come there and to offer sacrifices and such, the festivals. They did that year by year. And this particular time, He had stayed behind our Lord Jesus Christ as a young man, a child. And it uses His word in relation to Him, a servant. And again, it would say, behold my servant whom I have chosen. Children are very equal to servants in a house in relation to their fathers and their mothers. They're not the ones making the rules in the house. They're the servants in that relationship. And you love them. I'm not saying that we don't, but I want you to consider in Galatians 4:1, the heir, as long as he is a child, there's our word. It's actually a different word, but we're still getting the same point. The heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant. Though he be Lord of all, but what? Is under tutors, granting and denying permission. Excuse me. He's under tutors and governors or stewards who have the responsibility over their lives, ruling over them until the time appointed of the Father, which would indicate he comes to age and he's moving on to perhaps start his own family or whatever it is, but he goes into that. this particular commandment in Colossians, to hold that thought, children as servants, is very significant because they are in the house that way. This commandment is directed to children in Colossians 3:20, especially the child who knows the Lord. Though every child should obey this commandment, but it stands out that it belongs to those especially that know the Lord, because it says, because it's well-pleasing to Him. And we wouldn't even begin to assume that anything that anyone would do is acceptable to the Lord when they don't know Him. There's no way. It's not the idea. So it comes up that these are those who know the Lord. But as a child in preparation for life, you, children, as a child in preparation for life beyond mom and dad, if the Lord tarries, that moment will come to you. You have much to be taught and much to learn in what you think is a very long period of time. You can't wait till you grow up. But in the final analysis, that is such a small part of your life. Your parents, your fathers and mothers, have a small window of opportunity to prepare you for living most of the rest of your lives outside of their care and direction. One day, you're going to make the decisions and you won't be looking to. And when you first start off, you're not going to want necessarily mom and dad's opinion anymore or their direction. I'm on my own. I'm going to do things my way. One significant thing that stands out in my mind, I remember as a little child, to just give you an idea of the thinking, we've all been there. When I grow up, I'm going to eat a whole pack of bacon when I sit down to breakfast. I just love bacon. And I can't do it now if I wanted to. It makes you sick after a couple of three pieces. This hardly works. But there were things that I just looked forward to, because when I grow up, mom and dad, they only laid this on my plate, but I wanted so much more when it comes to dessert. I wanted that. I don't want the greens. I want this stuff over here. And when I grow up, I'm going to be like that. Well, I'll tell you what will happen if you do. You're going to multiply. When they increase, they eat them, is what the proverb says. Most of you won't do that. You'll find out very quickly. It was just an imagination. You had these funny little thoughts. Now reality is coming in. But what are we teaching our children? And what are they learning? I want you to consider this. The truth is, as we consider our children, and I'm getting back to you in just a second, children, the truth is that in the formation of character, they, that is, the first 2 or 3 years, some of you are getting ready to have children. Some of you are going to have children shortly, and you need to hear what this says. The truth is that the formation of the character within the first 2 or 3 years of the child's life are the most important of all. And yet most of us probably think, we've got 13 or 17 or 18 years to work with. You better think about these first couple of years. And I know this to be a fact. It has been said that from the impressions made, the principles implanted, and the habits formed during these years, 1 through 3, the child's character for time and eternity may take its complexion. It is perfectly clear that a child, before he can speak, tell me this isn't so, is susceptible of moral training. The conscience or moral sense may, by a judicious woman, a sister in the Lord, a mother in the Lord, consider this. This is so good. That little conscience
that conscience or moral sense may be by a judicious woman be developed soon after, if not before, the child has spent his first birthday. So early may he be made to distinguish between what his mother considers right and wrong, between what will please and what will displease her. The mother who acts upon the maxim that children may have their own way for a certain number of years or even months will find to her cost that that lesson at least will not speedily be forgotten. Moral training may and should precede that which is intellectual. Mathematics is stuff, reading and writing. Think about it. Mothers are teaching their children right from the start things. The next word, children, obey. Compound Greek word, and it literally means to be under the hearing. That's important for children. You need to be able to listen to your mom and dad. You need to be able to hear them. Oh, I know, many times I grew up and I heard their voice, but I wasn't hearing what they were saying. I didn't like what they were saying. I ignored what they were saying. And not only did I pay the price, but in cases where they failed to make me listen, they paid the price as well. There's two sides to this. But consider, to be under the hearing. It is the same word that is used for the servants in our 22nd verse of this scripture. It says, servants, obey. Same word. And again, consider the children. Consider yourself. Servants in this house. Obey as a servant would his master. Obey your parents, your mothers and fathers. You're instructed to be, by the Lord, to be under the hearing of your parents. Your ears are to be fixed on their voice. The voice of dad and mom. Of all the voices that you hear, your father and mother's is the most important. Yeah, I know. You come to about 12, 13 years old, all of a sudden mom and dad don't make no more sense. You can begin to be tone deaf. The teenage years are known for that. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Children, don't allow it. The extent to which you listen to them is already being influenced by mom and dad. I see a child who isn't listening to mom and dad, doesn't obey mom and dad. You know what? It's mom and dad's fault. Because they can be trained to listen. And they haven't been. And it's a shame. They ought to have children that hear them. It should not be allowed. Not in a single instance. When the parent speaks, the child should respond. The child should not be allowed to speak back. It shouldn't be allowed to make faces. It shouldn't be allowed to do anything except agree and do it. Period. There's no question about this. The rule in the house isn't up to a decision by the children. It's not up for their decision. And I'm telling you where the responsibility rests on dad. Dad. And the next one under him, mom. If mom's not willing to do it, dad had better step up to the plate and start making some changes in the house. It cannot be allowed. Cannot be tolerated. That sounds like an iron fist. I know it does, but bear with me as we move on. This is a loving relationship. It is a proper relationship. I'll guarantee you, if you'll set your house up God's way, you'll have the happiest of houses on the earth. It'll be right. Oh yeah, you're going to suffer criticisms because the world doesn't like this kind of house. But I'll tell you what, when you turn your back and you walk away from them, they're blessing you whether you know it or not. They're thinking, I wish I had that in my house. I wish my children listened to me. But they don't want to do what it takes. They haven't got it in them to do that. Some do. Outside of the Christian home. Some do have fine families. But you know what they've really done? They've simply implemented the Scriptures. They don't even know it. I want you to know, as children, even if your mom and dad fails to require your obedience to them, you're still bound by the Lord to obey. No one has an excuse to disobey the Word of God. Well, my dad don't make me do it, so I don't have to. The Lord has commanded it. And you ought to obey. I don't care if mom and dad's disobedient to the commandment or not. Obey the commandment of the Lord, and you'll be blessed. Didn't say, children, obey your parents when you think they don't, when you think they don't mean what they say. Children, obey your parents when you think they I can't quite say it. It was easier to write it down. Don't. If they don't dress it all up with pretty please and I'll put sugar all over it, or I'll give you a prize if you'll do this, you need to obey. For obedience, I would say you're going to be blessed in great ways. Not immediately. Not necessarily immediately, but your life is going to be different ahead for you. In Proverbs 1:8, the king of Israel said this, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother, for they," that is what? Their commandment, the words that they tell you to do, to obey them, "they shall be an ornament of grace to your head and chains about your neck. For the rest of your lives, you will be affected for good because you obeyed the Lord." The benefits that come for obedience cannot be just put on paper. Your whole life before you, because of your obedience to mom and dad now, shall be decorated with characteristics or qualities that at the moment are so unimportant to you. But as you become matured, they're going to be invaluable to your life. Things like being trustworthy. Things like being able to do a good, hard day's work. Being honest. You can't buy this with money. To be helpful, faithful, diligent, loving, caring, friendly, pleasant, cheerful, thankful, godly. Your parents are supposed to be instilling these things in you by requiring your obedience. They don't want you to be hurt by making rash and foolish decisions. They don't want you to be deceitful. They don't want you to grow up being a liar. They don't want you to grow up cheating people. They don't want you to be unable to give a good day's work and to lay your head on a pillow with a clear conscience that you've done the right thing for your master. They don't want you to be grumpy all the time. Now, I understand days, but sometimes our teenagers walk around with the biggest awful look on their face, is like, what's going on? And it's consistent sometimes to where, you know what? You need to do something to change your attitude. And mom and dad have failed to do it. So I'm begging you to take it up yourselves and change your mind. Change your attitude if you know the Lord. You don't have to walk around with a block on your shoulders. Plenty enough people doing that. You know what? Get happy in the Lord. No one can make you do that but you. Not the preacher. I'm probably making it worse right now.
I want you to consider it. I'm one of them. I wasted my time like that. I can change the way I appear to people. I can change the way I think in my heart by the power of God. We're to be doing that. It doesn't matter if mom and dad requires it or not. Do something yourself. They don't want you growing up complaining about everything. There's lots of people that do that. They don't want you to grow up ungrateful. I did this the other day and I was so smitten. I sat down after our class that night. Dog tired. I mean, it was information coming in there. I couldn't get a hold of it all. I'm slow. And it was there. I wish it had been different, but it wasn't. And I got home. I was so tired. And my wife plopped down a plate of food in front of me. And I just started eating and didn't even think until the next morning. I did not thank the Lord for the meal. I can't believe I did that. I hate that kind of thing. We ought to be grateful. We ought to bow our heads and thank God and ask for His blessing upon this, for our bodies. So many things. But they want you as children to have those thoughts, to praise the Lord. Do it yourself. Pray, give thanks to God for the things He does. I don't care if you're 3 or 19 or 100. It's for all of us. You're going to have to do it yourself. At some point in time, you're going to realize, hey, this is me. I can either spend the rest of my life like this, or I can do what the Scripture says and walk with Him. It's going to take some changes. It's going to take making new habits. I'm going to do these things because I know it's right, and yet it's so hard to do. And yet, if you'll apply yourself, it will begin to take place. It doesn't happen overnight. It's work. Here's the big word. Here's the big word for the day. Discipline. Train. Well, so we move on in Proverbs 6:20, thinking about the blessings that you have for obedience, young and old, children here, my son. And I enjoy writing that from time to time in messages, talking to my children, my sons now. Can't believe they're as old as they are. And I like to put down their son and go into the discussion. I didn't say that enough when he was growing up. Son, we have a special relationship. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mom, your mother. Bind them. Make these things precious to you. Make it an act of your will. About the things they're saying, you don't understand yet all what they're doing, why it is, but you will much more later. Instead of pushing it away, how about this? Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When you go, it shall lead thee. When you sleep, it shall keep thee. And when you awake, it shall talk with thee. All that you need is being developed right now under mom and dad's care. Do not ignore it and reject it. Take it in. Everyone that I know of, we have no unbelieving parents in the house today. I'm sure that they want to teach you the right way, the way of the Lord. Consider what they say. When you need to apply yourself hard, you will if you've been taught right. When you need to bear patiently with difficult things, you can when the time comes. He goes on, for the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs. When they say things that don't set well with us, they correct us with their words. We're moving from reproofs, going from words, to the rod. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Hey, this is how it really is. We have to be able to hear some hard things from mom and dad. There are parts of instruction that come from them that stings us as children. I want you to be able to hear that. When it disagrees with you, hear it. Learn to hear it. Learn to say in your mind, this is for my good, and I'm going to do it because the Lord commands it. Because ahead of you are pitfalls, I call minefields, that are going to get you, and they're trying to get you away from it. You'll be captured by certain things. Because it talks about, I don't know, you don't understand at the moment, but to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a stranger, you can get easily caught up in things. And their guidance is preparing you for this stuff that's out there. In the Proverbs 23, verse 22, hearken. Hearken unto your father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she's old. Parents will always have this advantage. They have the blessing of retrospection. Children, you don't have that. What's that mean? Your parents have been, they're already ahead of you. They've already seen, they've already had to go through certain things, and they can look back and say, whoa, I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh, I wish I'd have done that. And on and on. And then they see that you're coming along, and you're gonna have to make some similar decisions for yourself, and they're trying to train you up so that you are better prepared so that when you come into those places, you'll know what to do. What's the right thing to do? They're protecting you from those things. How can your father begat thee, despise not your mother when she's old? Buy the truth and sell it not. Keep it with all your keeping. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Verse 26. My son, give me your heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. So much of how you'll live tomorrow is directly associated with how you'll honor and esteem, highly regard and prize dad and mom and the words that they say. You're always going to be your parents' child. You cannot outgrow mom and dad. Funniest thing, I keep expecting, it's the weirdest thing, I think maybe you have the same thing. I wonder one day when I'm going to grow up, and I guess in a sense, is when will I not feel like the child of my parents? You're not ever going to come to that place. Not in this life. Obey them. When they say, don't touch the wood stove, there's a reason they're telling you not to touch the wood stove. Don't go up and down the stairs. And don't play on the stairs. And some basic things don't seem like much. But those instructions are teaching you more than just that. They're preparing you for more important decisions later. And if you won't do those things, I can tell you this much, it's going to be very difficult for them to want to charge you with more important things along the way. If you can't be trusted with this particular duty of vacuuming the house or washing the dishes, washing the car, mowing the yard, and all those things that all the kids get to be blessed with when they grow up. You know what I mean? We all had chores. If we had much of a house at all, most likely mom and dad gave chores. You ought to do the best that you can. You ought to do something that says, you know, with this attitude, like, I do my best, and mom and dad will be happy about that. They won't have to come behind me and clean up and gripe and complain because you didn't do the job you were supposed to do, that you were assigned. If you can't do those things, it grows into bigger things and bigger problems. The Lord Himself says in Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least, in the little things, is also faithful in much. And he that's unjust in the least is also unjust in the much. And if you're not doing a good job now, you're not going to do a good job later. And mom and dad shouldn't let you slide. You know what? They have the responsibility, and they ought to step up to this if they don't. That when you're told to do something, that after a while,
They come back and they say, okay, now I don't expect a 5-year-old to remember, and a 6 and a 7, 8-year-old, to be able to do what bigger people do. But if they said, go up there and clean up your room, pick up all your toys, when mom and dad, later, you should be able to go up there and you ought to inspect what they've done. You ought to see whether or not they obeyed. You ought to say something about it. If they haven't done that, we might need to step it up a little bit more. Now, these are things that lay a foundation for bigger things later. If we settle these little things here, we're not going to have the bigger problems necessarily later. It all starts out here so that when they get here, everything's far better off. Doesn't mean you're not going to have some trouble and trial, but you know what I mean. If we're not doing it here, by the time they get to this, 6'3", 200 pounds, or 250, mom and dad's got a real big problem on their hands. It could have been taken care of at such an earlier age. But children, your parents begin, your training begins right now. Right now. Now, there was one in Genesis chapter, his life is found in chapter 37. I'm only going to just mention this. And chapters 39 through 45. And it deals with a young man, teenager, that his name is Joseph, and he was 17 years old, and began to come into some trouble. And what it says, though, in chapter 37, I think it's verse 1 or so, it gives us his age and what he did. He kept his father's sheep. Now, a flock of sheep, that's a pretty good responsibility for a 17-year-old. And he didn't just come up with it one day. He was raised and taught, trained, to be able to handle this kind of work to the point now where he's able to travel even long distances and check on how his brethren are doing. He had evidently had good instruction from his dad, Jacob, his mother. And this is the testimony of this young man after he had come into trouble for quite some time. And he ran into trouble here for about 13 years. Not because he was doing evilly, but he was a good son, the beloved son of his father, one of about 10 at the time. He says this about this young man, a teenager. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. When he had gone from his father's house, he was sold as a slave into the Midianites, hand of Midianites, taken down to Egypt. Most of you know his life story. As it got worse and worse and worse for him, he kept doing the right thing. How did he do that? Because he'd been trained along the way. I tell you, you don't just come up with character like that. Somebody was working with this boy. And look at what it did. It raised up a man second to the throne in Egypt. A great man of the Lord and powerful in the land of Egypt. Yeah, he was transplanted. He was ripped from his parents' home. And you know, children don't always have the blessing of having biological parents. But wherever he went, he subjected to their rule. And it was proper. He wasn't overcome by the tragic turn of events, and they were tragic. But he knew for himself that he ought to do the best that he could and trust the Lord through it all. And he did. And look at what came of it, though. Great blessings for him. One of the wisest, so as it said, in Egypt. Joseph had learned to subject himself to others. I don't see how in the world you can learn to rule properly if you haven't learned to subject yourself to others along the way. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 and 15 verse 20, so it's said twice, and that means to me that it is fixed. It is a settled matter with the Lord in His Word. It says this, you want to be a blessing to your parents. Children, here you go. A wise son makes a glad father. He's affected by that young man's life. And I just say this, daughters too. That's the idea.
Why, in Proverbs 23, verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. His children are doing the right thing even if they've grown up. You see the fruit of this. He greatly rejoices in his children. I tell you, great blessings. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and your mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. On the other hand, though, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You'll notice the mother comes up in this quite a bit here. In Proverbs 10:1, Proverbs 15:20, a foolish man despises his mother. That is unnatural. Son would love his mother as she's raised him up and taking care of him in a way that a father kind of rough and coarse and wants discipline. The mother is the tender and the kind and has that. There are things that we need to watch out for. In Proverbs 19:26, he that wastes his father, that is, destroys him or oppresses or robs him. I know a father about 2 years ago came and told me that his son had broken into his house. Grown son, broken into his house and went in there and stole the money and the jewelry and stuff. He was having problems. Yeah, he's having problems with his son. Grown up. It starts here and it keeps going. What you don't give in discipline to the child, parents are going to wear for the rest of their lives by what comes back to them. He that wastes his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. In Proverbs 17:21, he that begets a fool doeth it to a sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Another in Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. In 28:7, he that's a companion of riotous men shames his father. And one more, 28:24, who robs his father or his mother, whoso robs his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as a companion of a destroyer. He corrupts it and destroys and wastes his substance, his parents' substance. Children, why are you to obey your parents? You know the Lord. Because it's well-pleasing to Him. Well-pleasing to Him. That's what the Scripture, the Colossians says. There is no greater joy, probably to say it like that, no greater reason for children to obey this holy commandment of the Lord than knowing that God Himself is well-pleased with your obedience to them. He speaks from glory to you. He gives this commandment. By your obeying them, you're obeying Him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, honor, highly esteem your parents. Honor them. Value them. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. And I do think it means just exactly that. Many a child and young adult, it seemed like they just hadn't even got started and they're gone. They were caught in things that they should not have gotten involved in and gone because they didn't obey. They disregarded counsel from their parents. I believe it says it, that you may be a long time on the earth. I don't know really any other practical way for a child to show that they know the Lord except through subjecting themselves to their parents. Jesus would speak to any of His disciples and ask this question, so I direct it to the children. I don't care if you're a teenager in your early 20s and you're not started off yet. Listen, why do you call me your Lord and don't do the things which I say? The disciples of Christ regardless of age, ought to do the commandments of the Lord. He goes on in verse 47 of Luke 6. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he's like. Remember this, the wise man built his house upon the rock. That's where this comes from. And it speaks about your life. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, a stream beat vehemently upon the house. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Through the Word of God, the Lord has revealed a way so that we might have all the qualities of life that will help us in our relations with others. As His children, because He's worked in us a love for His Word in us, and you children as well. We want to arrange our lives so that it is guided by everything that the Lord commands. By doing this, we're building on the unmovable, unchangeable, unbreakable rock of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. The life built on this rock, withstands every storm, no matter how hard it is. Yep. We might fall 7 times, but we'll be raised back up again. In the worst of the worst, for that child of God who trusts Christ, though the whole world and all the forces of evil oppose, His foundation is unmovable because the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms for every child of His. Every father and mother, every son and daughter that know Jesus Christ, that knows that He died for them, took away their sins, that He raised from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, awaiting the day to come again, can withstand every trial. But for those who live in disobedience, it's not like this at all. Because he goes on in Luke and says, but he that hears and doeth not, is like a man that is without a foundation. That without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. A ruined, destroyed life. And that's what mom and dad are trying to spare you from in requiring your obedience to them. Living long on the earth because you honor your parents. In Proverbs 13:30, verse 17, it says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." It speaks of an untimely death. Now, parents, whoever it is that has charge for children, the Word of God addresses you. I know the commandment goes to the parents, but I wanted to take this time to address the parents. Grandparents, you can listen if you want to. We've got it all figured out, I know. We still have grandchildren, so it would do us all good. We were once under the direction of parents as well. What children don't understand or forget as they get older is that we were once like they were. There are times when you can anticipate what your children are going to do, and they go, "How did you know that?" Man, I mean, they don't realize, they're just laying it out there. You could head them off at the pass. King Solomon said as much, "I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also. I had to go through the same feelings and the same things that you did. I was once where you were, believe it or not." I know my grandchildren look at me and they think, "He's always had gray hair." It's the way that is. I was once that little boy. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. We want to do you good. Well, but now it's our turn as parents to teach our children. Parents have a great responsibility to assist their children to learn good behavioral traits. So I want you to consider this. Years ago, Brother King shared this. I was a 20-year-old. I sat in the church, joined the church shortly after we came out of the military. And it wasn't shortly after that. I remember, never forgot, made notes from that very study, made them in the back of my Bible. They're still there today in my other Bible. I haven't brought them into this one. But I never forgot what you told me from the Word of God. I needed to hear it. Train up a child in the way he will go. Train up a child in the way he should go, parents. And when he's old, he will not depart from. Children require constant and good attention. Left to themselves, that's a key phrase. Left to themselves, they can hurt themselves and they'll bring hurt to you and others as well. Proverbs 29:15 says that much. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. That's significant because that's the very thing we're prone to do. He'll grow out of it. I don't need to say anything. They don't either. You need to say something. And if you won't say it, somebody that shouldn't will. And they'll say the wrong thing. I'm telling you from experience. Most of us parents been down the road. Grandparents know this already. It's old stuff. But I've got to repeat it. Because I know that you're in my place now. And you're coming into our place. And this is really important for you. Parental negligence is probably the easiest and most harmful thing that can be done to a child. I need you to pay attention. I'll read this. To you is committed the care of the infant body. The helpfulness, the vigor and comfort of which for all his future, referring to this little one, his future existence upon earth depends upon you. What would be your feelings of poignant remorse if by any neglect of yours, whether by a fall or an accident, the result of your carelessness, the poor babe was injured in his spine or distorted in his limbs. Oh, to see that young cripple injured for life in bodily comfort ever presenting to you the sad reminder of your guilty neglect. Yet, what is this to the sadder spectacle of a deformed and crippled soul? A character distorted into crooked and frightful shapes, and to have the tormenting reflection that this was the result of your neglect. Wake up! Don't let this be your case. An ill-managed child continues growing not only in stature and in strength, but in his wayward disposition and obstinate self-will. The poor mother has no control. And as for the father, he's too much taken up with the cares of business to aid his imperfect helpmate. Thus the scene is exhibited, described by Solomon of a child left to himself. That's a terrible thing to happen to a child. Get involved. How we must take the issue of raising children most seriously. It is you, the parent, who must assume the responsibility of molding the behavior of your child. It's not grandma and grandpa's duty. It's not the pastor's duty. It's not the deacon's duty. It's your duty as a parent. They're your children. Rise up to the occasion and get involved in your children's lives. Chasten your son while there's hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. That's the Word of God to us. This writer went on, can you say no to the child when with winning smiles, oh, grandparents really fall prey to this. Be careful. No one ought to allow disobedience. No one. But mom and dad, especially brothers, can you say no to a child when with willing smiles, that little cherub there, and you know you need to say no? Can you? A beseeching voice, weeping eyes. He asks for what it is that is not good that he should receive. Can you take from him that which is likely to be injurious to him, by which it will give him pain to surrender? Can you correct him for his faults when your heart rises up in opposition to your judgment? I don't want to tell him no. Can you exact obedience in what is to him a difficult, but to you a necessary command? Can you stand out against his tears? Mom, hear this. Can you stand out against it? Resolute in purpose, unyielding in demand, and first conquer your own heart, so stoutly resisting you in order to conquer his? Or do you allow yourself to be subdued? To put an end to the contest. And by soothing his sufferings, fostered a temper which ought to be eradicated at any pains and at any cost. He. And I want to add he as well. Who cannot answer all this in the affirmative is not fit to be a mother. There must be discipline in a family. A parent must be obeyed. Give this up and you train your children for evil and not good. It's that simple. Good training hasn't anything to do with what kind of building they're in. You can have all the stuff that the public school systems have and you'll still... What are they producing? What are they producing? They have to have guards and police officers. They had them when I was a teenager. We got drugs like we could get anything we wanted at any time in school. You must get involved. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that is directed to the Father. I want you to consider it. Doesn't matter if you have a tent or a castle. This commandment stands the same. Money ain't got nothing to do with it. Training your children according to the Word of God. Going on, education, as has been observed, does not begin with the alphabet. It begins with a mother's look. It does. You can see a baby nursing and you can correct misbehavior. That baby can't utter a word and you know they need to be corrected for something. I won't go into details, but sometimes it's kind of funny. But you know, how do you correct them? You teach them not to do something. Luann used to take Stephen, and all she'd have to do is just thump the bottom of his feet. And it shocks them. And you're training them to respond to something. Months old. Months. Couple months, too. And it's already started. Education has been observed. It doesn't begin with the alphabet. It begins with a mother's look and with a father's nod of approbation or sign of reproof. Well, the problem, Psalm 38, I will instruct you and teach you in the way. The Lord does this with all His children. And this is what parents are to do. In the way which thou shalt go, I will guide you with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near to thee. Don't be like them, or you're going to have to endure chastening with the rod. Parents should know their responsibility before the Lord to raise their children as the Lord commands. Your children are as subjects in your home. They're to do your bidding as servants, but beloved. A parent must not be a tyrant, but neither must he be a slave to his children. It's a painful and, to the parents, a disgraceful spectacle to see a family like a state where rebellion reigns rampant. You ever been in a house like that? The father's deposed, the scepter's broken, and the insurgent children possessed of sovereign rule. Children don't rule the home, or they're not supposed to. And a mother as well as a father must be obeyed, and it is her own fault if she is not. A persevering system of government, where the reins are held tightly, and they must be in the hand of love, will be sure to produce submission at last. But it must be a mixture of kindness, wisdom, and authority. Submission must be felt by a child to be duly yielded to authority, and not merely a compliance won by affection. Authority must not stiffen into severity, nor love degenerate into coaxing. Commands should be obeyed, not only because it's pleasant to obey them, but because it's right that they should be obeyed. Children should learn to sit. My opinion. I believe it's right. They ought to learn to sit, be quiet, and pay attention, and do as they're told. I should be able to look at my child if he's doing something in that seat, and we've done it. Look at him and let him know. It just takes the raised eyebrow, and he knows, you either stop, or we're going out. It's that simple. It ought to be that you can guide your child with the eye. Oh, look, it's that way. It comes by training. The first time you do it, they think, and then you let it go. And they do it again. And then you might stop, and then they do it again. Well, you messed up. Because the first time they did it, they should have been taken out. You mean business when you say what you mean. It must be, you must be obeyed. They should sit still, be quiet, pay attention. And they can actually do that. And I see it today. You're doing that. I think the children are probably, I better listen in on this because dad and mom, they might be different when this is over. I see a lot of attention. That's a good thing. Proper teaching and discipline prepares the child for learning. And this beyond, that begins in a very early age. I especially enjoyed this because it hits close to home. But there are as many varieties of temperament in some families as there are children. And that's important because you need to learn your children. You need to know what they need for correction. What works, what the temperament is involved. One is forward and obstructive, obtrusive, I'm sorry, and should be checked and rebuked. Another is timid and retiring and needs to be encouraged and emboldened. One's more easily wrought upon by appeals to her hope. Another by reasonings addressed to her fear. One is too close and reserved and needs to have frankness and communicativeness encouraged. Another is too open and ingenious. You know, it's a big job. But you can do it. Because the Lord gave you these children. He would not have you, could not. You have these special children in your care. They're His. They're on loan to you to do with as He commands us to do. Every child should be a separate study. One treatment will no more suit all minds than one medicine or kinds of food to all bodies. Well, so what?
There's a time when you move into the rod. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. You know, I'm just going to have to tell you the way it is. The rod is for the back. It doesn't have to be a tree limb or a log or a board. I wouldn't recommend it, but I do recommend a rod. It comes in the form of small dowels or switches, but it's to be applied. The Scripture says on the back. I tried to prove otherwise. It's on the back. It means that. It says that. It's as simple as that. It sounds terrible, but if you're going to do it God's way, you've got to do this. It's the rod applied to the back. And there are reasons for it. You don't apply it for everything. You deal with the child. You use words. Parents use words. They direct the child. And if persistence in that continues, then it's time for the rod. Depending on what it is. You have to make that judgment call. But there are times when the rod must be resorted to. Now, foolishness is bound. Why? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. If it's properly applied, parents, it will work. You got to watch it, though. I've seen it in our. I know it has happened. You use the rod, and you let the child go, and you can see full well you didn't get the result that needed to take place. They're still mad. Things haven't changed. It's time to do it again. I've seen it. You have a child, you correct them, you come back in, and it happens again. And you have to take them. And you know what? It's embarrassing. Hey, it's part of it. You get up, you go back out, and you do it again. And you come in, and it happens again. 3, 4, and 5 times. But you know what? It's going to work. Some are stubborn, and it drives it out of them. You don't quit. You don't let up. You must do it. Maybe you have to apply more pressure. Maybe more to a number. Whatever it is, figure it out. But you must correct the child until there is a willingness to obey. Until that point, you have not won that issue. Don't give it up. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, the rod of correction to drive it far from him. It's chastening. The rod is to be placed on the back. There are several scriptures in Proverbs 10:13, 19:29, and 26:3. Especially this one. I'll give you this. A whip's for the horse. A whip. That's why I emphasize the rod. A whip's for a horse. The rod is for the child. A whip, a bridle for the ass. A rod for the fool's back. There are behaviors in children that need to be corrected. And the rod will take care of that. Just to move on. The children of God take comfort. Not during the chastening of the Lord. But they're certainly comforted because after that, they know the Lord did so because He shows He loved them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I'm going to... Let me move just a little bit. We're almost finished. So, training is what makes everyday boys and girls exceptional in their character. While it does not save souls, it does not do that, it will and can save their lives and make them productive citizens. Otherwise, the children can be destroyed and wasted by the world. And that will bring certain hurt and pain to the parent as well. I know you know what I mean.
parents must be willing to sacrifice, to make sacrifices in order to make this happen. I know that. You know what? If you're going to have children, I really believe mothers need to stay at home with their children. That's the Bible. Do whatever you can to make that happen. And I think most of you have. And in certain instances, it's hard. You know, you're going to have to give up things. But they're your children. No one else can do it for you. You might want someone else to, but it's your responsibility. You might have a lot of trouble trying to make it on a single family income anymore, but I've seen that there are ways to make it happen. Mom can do things from home as well. It is possible, still, in the day we live. Do what you can if you have children. It is a commendable goal. Let me close with this. As our children's happiness or misery, both for time and eternity, is linked with our own responsibilities, shall not we, parents, watch and pray and resist the weakness of the flesh in self-denying firmness? Take this for certain, that as many deserved stripes as you spare from your children, you do but lay upon your own back. And those whom you refuse to chastise, God will make severer scourges to chastise you. At whatever cost, establish your authority. Let there be but one will in the house. And let it be felt that this will is to be the law. The child will readily discover whether the parent is disposed to yield or resolved to rule. But however trifling the requirement, let obedience be, in small as great matters, the indispensable point. The awe of parental authority is perfectly consistent with the utmost freedom of childlike confidence. Nay, it is the very foundation of it, for the child can have hardly appreciate the kindness of a parent whom he thinks afraid to strike. It's the very foundation of it, while it operates as a valuable safeguard against a thousand follies of uncontrolled waywardness. But ever let us put the awful alternative vividly before us. Either the child's will or the parent's heart must be broken. Without a wise and firm control, the parent is miserable. The child is ruined. How do you want your house to be? It's not just going to happen. You're going to have to do what the Word of God says. And it takes work. It takes diligence. It's faithfulness. It's trust. It's prayer. It's dependence. It's asking for help. Welcome to the world of the real parent. We can do this. I say it to prepare you that are having children, a tremendous responsibility, tremendous blessing, but it can be a tremendous, almost like a curse, if you're not willing to do what the Word of God says. You'll suffer after the children are gone. You'll suffer the misery of misbehaved adult children the rest of your lives. Your whole life is spent worrying about and having to deal with disobedient children. You say, well, that's not going to be me. Yes, it will be if you don't do it today. God bless you. Thank you. I just hope the Lord will help us to make some sense of this and be willing to apply and learn from the Word of God. Amen. Thank you.